Well, it's a big day here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, the big NASCAR race at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, which is underway as we speak. I am not a fan. And, of course, lots of people in town for March Madness. But, so, who cares? We don't care. Here on Money Talk, we talk about money. 1-800-934-2221. Money Talk is the program where you can learn how to become your own personal financial manager and take charge of your personal financial future. Everything from investing in those tax-privileged accounts to investing for the future goals, such as investing for the education of the young sprouts. And by acquiring that investment knowledge, you can control your financial future. That's what it's all about here on Money Talk. The tools to achieve personal financial freedom for yourself and your family, and hopefully someday reside in that land of critical mass. I know many of our Money Talk listeners are living in the land of critical mass. They don't have any alarm clocks, and they're enjoying life. And that's well-deserved for those who have worked hard and saved and invested during their lifetime. So much to talk about. Of course, the Federal Open Market Committee meeting was this week. And on the quarterly meetings, March, June, September, December, we have press briefings, media briefings by the Fed chair, Janet Yellen. And she had one of those also on Wednesday following the meeting. The Federal Open Market Committee statement came out following the meeting and indicated, and of course, the rate, as we expected, the rate was raised 0.25%, and the range on federal funds now stands at 75 to 100 basis points. That's 0.75% up to 1%. Usually, much of the time, let's say, the federal funds rate will trade in near the middle of that zone. So right now that would be approximately 0.75%. And one of the questions, of course, that investors have is how many more rate increases are we going to see? And we can figure that out because the Federal Reserve has already said that their current projection of the federal funds rate that would be a normalized rate is 3%. Now that, by the way, is subject to change. For example, if the economy were to overheat, that could change. But right now, based on everything they're looking at, they're thinking about 3% as a normalized central tendency rate. Well, right now, we're at 75 to 100 basis points, and of course, 3% would be 300 basis points. And so, assuming 0.25% increases, and there's no law that restricts the Fed to raising rates 0.25% at a meeting. They can do whatever they want. They can raise it 0.5, 0.75, 1%. They can raise it whatever they want. But they seem to be on a gradual pace. They are talking a gradual pace, and the reason they're able to do that is because the economy is just gradually increasing, but it's not showing any signs of acceleration at this point. In fact, right now, the first quarter is tracking below last year's level. Last year grew at 1.9 year over year in terms of real gross domestic product, 1.9%. And right now, the first quarter is actually tracking below that. Now, that may change because we still have a little more to go in the quarter. But the point is, we're not seeing any signs yet of acceleration. So as long as that remains the case, this gradual increase in the economy, then the Fed seems comfortable with an estimated normalized rate down the road, of course, of 3%. Okay, so we're at 75 to 100 basis points. So in order to get to 275 to 300 basis points, which would be 2.75 to 3, and if Fed funds traded in the middle, they would trade around 2.875. So in order to get to that level, at 0.25% per pop, we would need 8 more rate increases. If we had 8 1/4% increases, 8 increases of 1/4% each, we'd be at 2.75 to 3 on the federal funds rate. That rate is directly controlled, of course, by the Federal Reserve. So if we were to get two more rate increases this year, then by the end of the year, we would be in the neighborhood of 1.25 to 1.5. If we were to get three rate hikes next year, that would take us up to 2 to 2.25. And if we were to get three the next year, we'd be around 2.75 to 3. Now, what would be necessary for that to happen? We would have to see continued gradual increases in gross domestic product. And the reason I say that is there are two things that could get in the way of that schedule that I just mentioned. One would be if there's an acceleration in the growth rate. If the growth rate starts getting strong, you could see a faster pace of federal intervention in monetary policy, that is the raising of rates and the tightening of policy. But if the economy were to slow down, then it's possible that the Federal Reserve would drag their feet. I think it's likely if we saw a further slowdown that we could see the Fed drag their feet on rate increases. So that's the scenario that makes the most sense from my point of view right now, that within the next couple of years, let's say by the end of 2018, that a gradual growth economy could get us up close to 3%. But hey, that's a long way off, right? That's 2.75 years away to get to the end of 2018. But that won't happen if the economy gets too hot. It'll happen faster, and if the economy gets too cold, it'll happen slower. And I think that's the best way to look at Federal Reserve policy at this point. Now, it's also true that Fed Chair Janet Yellen's term will end in less than a year. Early February of next year, her term as Fed Chair will expire. She remains a member of the Federal Reserve. Her term on membership does not expire when her term on chair expires. So whether or not Janet Yellen is willing to continue, whether she is reappointed is entirely up to, well, whether she's willing is up to her. Whether she's reappointed is up to the president. And that's a decision that will have to be made later this year. But in any case, she is the Fed chair at least through early February of next year. She is running monetary policy along with her compadres on the Federal Open Market Committee. And as of right now, that's, I think, where we stand in terms of monetary policy. And we're going out to the great show-me state of Missouri. Greg, welcome to Money Talk.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great.
I took money out of a 401k about 6 or 7 years ago and decided to invest in gold with a company out in California. And long story short, it was a scam operation. They overcharged me initially for the initial sales of the gold coins. And then after I cashed in a few, you know, I was running through some tough times. I started using some of the coins, cashing them in. They were selling them back to me at half the price that I purchased them for 2 years later. And then when I got a little bit of, bent out of shape about that, they had somebody persuade me to exchange from gold going into silver, calling that a safer investment.
Oh.
It didn't, then when the exchange process went on from gold coins at the silver bars, there was, you know, I was given a low ball price when they bought the gold coins and an inflated price when they sold the silver bars. So eventually, long and short of it is, I got less than $40,000 back from this company of an initial investment of $100,000 when I sold the investments back. The company, fortunately for me, I hooked up with the Secret Service, the Justice Department. The company is being investigated, but I'm kind of like, I guess you could say in limbo because I don't want to expose that fact. So I say this, I need to recoup my losses and also have to bite out my time while they collect other people up that have also been scammed by the Sentep operation. So I'm not sure if I should proceed, try to get my money back on my own, or just stand by, let the investigation go on. But I've only got a certain amount of time from the time that this happened, you know, to actually bring them to court. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, I think, sadly, Greg, I do understand exactly what you're saying. And, of course, this is, and I appreciate your sharing all of that for our Money Talk listeners, even though I have talked about this whole aspect of gold coins and IRAs on the program on more than one occasion. I would never, as anybody listening to this program knows, I would never invest any tax privilege money in gold coins, but I also would not invest any personal money in gold coins, and that has to do with the markup, and we've talked in detail about the markup. The markup on gold coins can be incredible. It can be absolutely incredible. In other words, if you were to tell me that you paid $100,000 for gold coins that were only worth $50,000, I would not be surprised, because I have heard of incredible, unbelievable markups when it comes to gold coins. And so you have to understand, as we've discussed on the program, gold is not regulated. And that's the reason that a lot of this stuff is going on, because there really is no regulation when it comes to something like selling gold coins. And that's the reason, Greg, that I've recommended that Money Talk listeners that want a deal in something like a numismatic gold coin, and that's what we're talking about here, is collector item gold coins, you have to be a dealer. You have to be a dealer in order to know the true price. Otherwise, you're going to get scammed. That's my opinion. You should expect. You should expect that you're going to get scammed.
Well, to any of your listeners that are listening right now, you are 200% correct.
Well, I'm sorry this happened to you, Greg, because it pains me to hear this happening to anybody. But it pains me just as much when I hear people touting things like putting, you know, gold coins in an IRA, or this business about physical gold, owning physical gold, which has no meaning to me at all. I can buy exchange-traded fund symbol GLD, and I can have gold backing up my investment. It represented as a tradable security. And I'm not getting marked up because I'm actually buying the gold value with a possible 3 or 4% premium, I would say, at most. So, it pains me to hear this. I'm very sorry this happened to you, Greg. And the only way that I would go after them with a personal attorney would be if you can get somebody to do it for a percentage of the reward. I don't want you paying out thousands of dollars in additional losses because you always have the risk that a company could declare bankruptcy. You wouldn't get anything anyway. So I'd hate to see you throw money away on counselors. But if you could find a counselor that would take the case on a percentage payout, which is going to be very hard, because this is probably going to be like getting blood out of a turnip, or blood out of a stone, I would say that I hate to see you throw money away on a counselor in a case that might be hopeless. It might be hopeless, Greg. Thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing. And please, all Money Talk listeners across America, remember what we have talked about for so many years on Money Talk. You don't put tax privilege. I mean, the crime there is that's IRA money. That's just awful. Or 401k money. That's awful. Yeah, you don't even get to write off the losses when you lose money in a 401k. Not that that would help that much when you've lost 60% of a 401k. I mean, that's an incredible loss to take. But again, when you're walking into gold coins, numismatic coins, or silver coins, you're basically walking into the mother of all shark attacks. And you have to expect, when you're buying numismatic gold coins or silver coins, that you're paying a huge markup, an unthinkable markup in many cases. That's why I recommend that if you're going to deal in numismatics, first of all, become a coin dealer, so that you actually know the value of each coin, so that you're not paying $100 for a $50 coin. And remember the article in the Philadelphia newspaper years ago where somebody had paid $130,000, $140,000 for a bunch of numismatics and tried to sell them back and was offered about $70,000. This is what goes on. It's an unregulated business, and scamsterism is widespread. It is rampant. And Greg's call, as painful as it is to listen to, is a gift. It's a gift to our Money Talk listeners about what is out there and how you have to be careful about what is out there. And, Greg, I can't thank you enough for sharing. I really cannot. You can stream Money Talk on your computer. Download Money Talk to your smartphone. That is Money Talk On Demand. And, of course, our investment talk is year-round. With Money Talk On Demand, you can listen wherever you go, whenever you like, with Money Talk On Demand. Sign up at bobbrinker.com, right there at the Money Talk On Demand logo. Yes, it is painful. Yes, it is very painful to have to listen to a tragic story like Greg shared, where $140,000 in IRA money becomes $60,000, or where $100,000 becomes $40,000 in his case because of numismatic coins. It's horribly difficult to listen to that story. But it's literally a godsend to have Greg be kind enough to share that real-life story with our Money Talk listeners, so you know, going in, if you're dealing in numismatics and you're not a coin dealer, you should expect you may be scammed.